Hi, it's Friday, October 30th, 2020, and you are about to enter the no sell zone. I want to welcome you to Senior Housing Unfiltered. I am Todd Petty, your host, along with Jimmy Carrion, my podcast associate and business partner. We are here again highlighting another impact maker this month and a thought leader making a difference in the senior housing industry, Jimmy.
Yes, absolutely. Welcome to today's broadcast. We are conversing with all types of people, entrepreneurs, leaders, activists, and other heroes from the senior housing world. Today, our guest is a hidden gem who has driven innovation and technology for over a decade, and in many ways is responsible for the exciting technology emerging in existing and new buildings all over the U.S. of A. Matt Haywood with Passergy will join us sharing his dreams, experiences, and passion over the last decade in senior housing. But first, let us discuss where we are in the industry in COVID-19 world and what can we expect in the next few months.
Wow, Jimmy. Yeah, that's great. Over the past several months, as we've all negotiated and navigated our way through this pandemic, one thing has become exceedingly clear. If you're going to survive, you must adapt. So let me say that again. This is important. If you're going to survive, you must adapt. It doesn't take long, Jimmy, if you're in leadership, to learn this principle through truism or a lesson. But decades come and go, and some leaders have forgotten how to adapt.
Absolutely. I've spoken to many industry leaders, and some feel like they have reached the end of the road, achieve all they want to or need to achieve, and they suddenly find themselves having to relearn old lessons. Only this time, the lessons are going to cost them a lot more.
Yeah, there's been certainly been the case for leaders this year. Leaders have been caught flat-footed in the face of COVID-19. Their lack of growth and development suddenly on display for everyone to see. Whether it's through bad decisions or a lack of leadership support, times like the past few months reveal the truth that leaders who stop learning, they stop leading. I'm going to say that again, too. I like that. This is very important for the audience to understand and myself to understand every day. When we stop learning, we stop leading. So since my entrance in senior housing in 2000, I have been passionate about speaking about leadership deficit and how we need to raise up more and better leaders to create a better industry and world. So we've shared this message in many different platforms in the past, and our enterprise has seen tremendous responses. But our voice alone will not be enough to turn the tide. Now, with everything that has happened in 2020, the world itself seems to be calling out for everyone to step up to the plate and lead the way. It's going to take everybody.
It's definitely going to take everybody. Our team has worked diligently to bring this podcast, our speaking events, and leadership material to your home or office, laptop, phone, iPad. There's all kinds of things you can listen to now.
That's a lot of devices.
Absolutely. And this is the year it's critical for more leaders to invest in themselves and developing the leaders around them. We are convinced that 2021 will probably be the year that leaders of all stripes to answer the world's calling to lead.
So it's a dichotomy, but ironically enough, the global crisis is revealing unending opportunities for each of us to answer the world's call to be likable change agents, right, for the good. And senior housing will echo and amplify this call moving forward.
Yeah, and I'm incredibly excited about the feature interviews coming up, as well as some behind-the-scenes conversations with some thought leaders outside of our industry. Todd, you have always said we should look outside of our own industry, new, fresh, bold ideas.
Yeah, I want to just take a moment here and look at this, think about this question. Where are big ideas born from? I mean, are they inside the industry? Is it right around us? I really believe if you want to transform your business and our industry, we must look outside the industry for new ideas. And we'll be talking about three simple strategies common to big ideas in a future podcast. So we'll just take a brief look at those. One is violating industry norms. We started to talk about that last week.
Absolutely.
Appealing to the industry malcontents. I really like that one. Because people are just malcontent about average. There's an enemy out there called average that must be defeated. And we want to appeal to those people that want to defeat it. And we want to be true leaders, not just an alternate in the world today. So, Jimmy, the best businesses are always about something in addition to making money. Oh, We just lost a lot of people.
Oh, well, look at that.
I mean, that's the reality. I mean, we have, it's great to make money. Money fuels the engine of development, but there's got to be something more than just making money, at least in the minds of the patrons. Besides services we offer, great businesses tend to be about something, you know, a grand idea, a mission, positioning, philosophy, some, what's the word, one thing that everybody can hook into. You do not want to miss the episode coming up where we talk about this. And Jimmy, you cannot miss that episode because you have to record it. You have to be here.
That is absolutely right. And I wouldn't want to miss it. And I can't repeat this enough, but you know, we want our audience to understand we're doing this because we want to add value to you and see you grow in leadership and really make a difference in the industry that sometimes is stuck in ancient cultures. This is the year that you need to invest in your leadership and in the development of leaders around you. The world has shown us the desperate need for good values and good character to stand up and show the way forward.
Yeah, in 2020, you know, since March, we can no longer expect to move forward by staying where we are, doing nothing, waiting for something to change. So I'm inviting our audiences to join us each month in the No Selling Zone and become a leader who will change the senior housing world. The world is calling and we are answering the call by bringing the best leadership development material available wherever you are. All you need to do is visit our webpage, Senior Housing Unfiltered, or you can search for us on the Apple Podcast, download Senior Housing Unfiltered, and secure your seat at the table.
Absolutely. And just to add to that, not just Apple Podcasts, but Spotify and Heart Radio and LinkedIn and everywhere else where you listen to your podcast, you can find us there. Well, Todd, it's time to get started. We have a lot to talk about. I want to introduce Matt Haywood with Passagy. Matt, thanks for coming. Thanks for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself so the people hearing us can learn a little bit about you.
Let's see. I guess I am an entrepreneur, passionate about my family, my faith, and relationships. I'm definitely passionate about my company and certainly the industry that we are privileged to serve in. So
that's fantastic. Well, we're happy to have you. And I know before we started here, we were discussing some topics. So Todd, I want you to, you know, bring it up and see what you have.
Yeah, Jimmy. So the topic today is disruption must take place for innovation to have space. And I before we started the podcast, Matt, I was thinking about an article back from Senior Housing News back in September 24th, 2014. I have it right here. Right here. Texas developer sees competitive edge in super high tech community.
Super high tech.
And that was Katy, Texas. And we had partnered together. I had garnished some funds. And we created a low voltage budget.
Your secret stash.
The secret stash. And we implemented technology that Senior Housing News would later say it was the most technologically advanced building that had been built. And we deployed technology that had not been available before. And I credit you. I know you don't, but yeah. I credit you with the architect of that entire experience. And I wanted to talk about, you know, how we went from 2008. Sitting at NIC, listening to the powers that be talk about this thing called Wi-Fi and how a couple people were putting it in their buildings, but that was really ridiculous because no one would use it. Yeah, older people didn't Wi-Fi? Need it.
Right.
We might put it in the lobby for those to log in, but they saw no need for it. And, you know, we've said to be competitive, we have to put this in. The world's changing. We put this technology in and then it just exploded with people, you know, putting it in their buildings as well. We really got credit for being the innovators with the message because we did it and we were just talking about this thing that was coming.
Right.
And that's how it works. You talk about, you know, what the next wave is and you can own the message. And so we had that building and then everybody followed. And now we're here in 2020 and innovation is changing again. And some people are kind of stuck doing the same thing and it's changing. I thought we could have a conversation about that today.
No, agreed. The title that you introduced, as far as the disruption must occur, right, in order to for innovation to have space, I think everybody can see the 2020 that is a truth, right? I mean, it's look at the adoption of video conferencing, of working from home, call centers. People in across the globe, people were working from home. I was on tech support calls hearing roosters in the background. You know,
dogs,
yeah, you know, and varying quality of conversations. But I always ask them, like, did you ever in your wildest dreams ever think you'd be working from home? The answer is always no. Right. So I just
Good point. So right? Entrepreneurs were saying that I don't like this idea of working from home because people will not be productive.
I can't control it. It's going to be out of control if I let people work
won't
from home.
Work.
Correct.
But we talked to developers even, like, can we get conference rooms for the staff to come in and have remote meetings with them to help guide operations? And it was like, you know, no, we've got to be there. We've got to be right in front of them to make sure things happen.
Yeah.
And they were opposed to it. I mean,
right.
People were still gravitating toward bigger and larger offices and congregating together and creating corporate environments where, you know, they could direct the care and the monitoring of services. And it's all changed
for sure.
Now.
Yeah. No, I mean, you can't go in a community, you know, essential employees going into a community. If you need to go in, you know, there's testing and PPE that needs to be worn. And rightfully so. You know, so technology has been the thing, the go-to that this industry has, to overuse the word, pivoted, right? So how many times hear the word pivoted this year? We're going to pivot. Okay. Some of us, it's how we operated. We operated off of this technology. You know, this is now an opportunity. A space has now been created because of this disruption for people to adopt, you know. And so what is, we talk about new normal and new things. It's like, well, I don't know a new normal. Change is the only constant, right? So how can we embrace, learn, grow, get behind our teams, connect with technology, connect through technology, and really make our teams, the people that we work with, make their lives better, and ultimately make the lives of our residents better. You know, isn't that what senior living is about, right? It's creating a resident experience that the resident is engaged, wakes up happy, healthy, the families are happy. You know, we've got engaged team members. I you know, utopian, my glasses half full all the time, but that's my perspective of why do technology to help drive connection.
Right. So that's interesting, because in order to really do that, though, if we look at the last few years, there seems to be the herd is rushed toward adopting cool and sexy technology in the building.
If you build it, they will come.
They will come.
Yes.
And it's the newest and latest, really almost like gadget. Let's put,
right,
you know, a variety of things that have been put in the buildings. And 6 months later,
right,
they're outdated.
Yeah.
So
or not used or forgotten.
Not used.
Not embraced,
can't be adopted.
Broken. Yeah.
The staff doesn't have time or whatever the case may be. So, you know, one of the things I think that's going to be very important moving forward is to have an infrastructure that allows the deployment of Wi-Fi throughout the entire campus.
For sure.
Of overcoming any restrictions,
right,
that would stop it, and having significant bandwidth. So whatever technology we put in the buildings can be deployed. We can rip it out and put something new in.
Right.
And particularly, I think it's important with independent living and active adult and these new communities that are going to come up to serve a younger generation that's not needing a higher level of care, so they can bring in medical technology to age in place without having to go to necessarily a medical model with all the devices and opportunities coming out with telehealth,
right,
delivery of medication. So, but that means budgeting and Wi-Fi is going to have to be very robust in the communities moving forward.
Connectivity is crucial. Stable, reliable connectivity is even more crucial. You know, not all Wi-Fi is created equal. It's essential to, you're talking about strategy. It's important to partner with the right people, not only internally, but externally, right? As an operator, I think that's one of the challenges that I see is that it's a friction point. When do you hire and own the internal talent? Where do you outsource and rely on somebody outside? You know, and the risk is, well, I need them internal because then I can control them. And it's an interesting paradigm, because can you really control an employee any more than you can control a partner?
And let me bring it back to the Wi-Fi, right?
Yeah.
Because I remember, you know, growing up, your grandparents, oh no, we're not going to use Facebook. They're not going to use this technology. Mm-hmm. They're not going to want an iPad. And you can't take away the iPad from my grandparents, right? So
they're probably like a two or three device.
Exactly.
Users.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what's so everyone can understand the importance, because I know development in the past is, you know, we'll get Wi-Fi in the common areas. That's all we need. We don't need it in the rooms. Why would we need it in the rooms?
Right.
It's I'm just wasting money. So what, if you can go into detail a little bit about the importance and what it affects when you don't have Wi-Fi.
For sure.
And the advantages of having Wi-Fi in the rooms and throughout the entire building.
Right. Todd referred back to, you know, 2008 at a conference, right, where we used the term Wi-Fi. And I think back in the industry, it's like, oh, we have Wi-Fi, mm-hmm. right? And that, how do you know, what flavor of Wi-Fi do you have? The good, the bad, or the ugly? You know, and it's like, well, I just need you to come. Can you just sign, move in, and I've got Wi-Fi. That's what I've got. You know, it was that crucial thing. There's a whole lot that goes into Wi-Fi. It's science, it's physics, it's wavelengths, right? So when I say not all Wi-Fi is created equal, it isn't, right? The other thing about Wi-Fi is that can you, as an operator, limit the number of wireless devices that are within range of your community? Like, can you turn devices off, or can you tell people to turn their Wi-Fi off, or can you tell them to,
right.
to leave,
right.
or can you tell, you know, your team members that are coming in, hey, when you come into community, turn your cell phones off and don't have Wi-Fi on. You can't, right?
Right.
So your Wi-Fi has to perform and respond to all the devices that are within range of it, regardless of whether devices are connected. That makes sense.
Right.
That's kind of the rub for Wi-Fi. We've probably all been to coffee shops where you're mm-hmm. sitting there and you're like, signal, I got five bars. And you might say, well, your bandwidth sucks, or your throughput, or I can't do what I need to. It actually might be that the engine that's driving that AP can't respond to the number of requests because it just can't handle the data that's coming through. So, you know, to your question about what do you need in a community to say Wi-Fi there, or connectivity? You have IoT, you know, you have RTLS. Some RTLS uses Wi-Fi.
So real-time location service.
Right.
And
yes.
We're going to talk about that.
Right.
Is how it relates to COVID-19 and contact tracing
before
we end this podcast.
Absolutely. Yes. We'll bring it back around.
Yes. Those are, in order for those things to work, you need to have an ecosystem, a homogenous ecosystem. You can't say, oh, we've got, if you want to name one cable provider like Xfinity, you drive around, you see all the Xfinity Wi-Fi hotspots. Well, if you were to just put a bunch of Xfinity hotspots, cable modems in there, it's not one ecosystem that you can wander down your hallway and not drop a phone call. Right? It is not an enterprise-grade network where you can connect various devices.
Right.
And get data from
it. And it may not hand off as you move from one location to the next.
If you want to sit and stream, it's great. If you want to be connected on a phone call talking with a resident family as you get off the elevator and walk down the corridor to go visit, you know, the a resident on the third floor, that you can't rely upon a public carrier grade, you know, network
right.
to be your enterprise dependency. Right.
Right. So I think in the minds, that makes total sense, Matt. And I think in the minds of developers, entrepreneurs, as they were trying to create a property, a community, a senior housing, they looked at the devices that were going to be functioning, just that,
right,
to determine what they needed. And in an effort to cut costs, just addressed those things.
Right.
And when you went beyond those things, the bandwidth was not sufficient. The coverage was not sufficient to allow the community to evolve. And so the world right. we're in now is we have people successfully aging. There's going to be this bifurcation of who's going where, right? So AL memory care residents will be higher acuity levels. They'll need more care. They'll go there. And anybody underneath that's going to want to go to a place to avoid that if they are not that sick. And they're going to need, in order to successfully age, they're going to want to be able to be in their rooms and stream Netflix. They're going to want to do telehealth now that's becoming readily available in their rooms. Not even
family,
a suite.
Loved ones.
Talk to their families. If they need medication, the pharmacy can come in, put a machine on the wall that will deliver meds based on the time because it's tied to the Wi-Fi.
Right.
So in order to do that.
At the front desk or see who's at the front door.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So just having it in the common areas and it is no longer going to be adequate for a person to successfully age. And we have to ready for that.
Right.
Is that a fair statement?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's platforms that are out there that just can't exist without an enterprise grade network. The data has to flow, right? It has to be one network in order to get from point A to point B within your community and then to get out to the internet. You know, and it has to be dependable and reliable. It can't be the kind of thing that you're asking your executive director, your main instructor to go run and power cycle something. It's not going to work by going buying a bunch of wireless access point routers and plugging them in, right? Intentionality, right? As an operator, you need reliable, dependable, consistent Wi-Fi connectivity as a foundational building block.
So can you help the audience and Jimmy and I understand where the disconnect is, because we're seeing many people getting into this space. Mm-hmm. A lot of them do not have healthcare backgrounds, but they are able to build beautiful buildings, which is important. Mm. And so they come into the space, and when they begin to program the community so that it's able to function, this is something that's overlooked in the development process. Well, why is that? Why I can go into buildings. We're visiting buildings now. We're looking at acquiring. There's all of a sudden a lot for sale. It's interesting. And they're 2 and 3 years old. When we walk in the building, the technology does not meet the demand of the devices in the building.
Yeah. I tend to, we are senior housing unfiltered. I tend to see an operator, my recommendation, an operator needs to know what they want, what they need in order to deliver that care, right? And if you need connectivity, then you need connectivity. You need to be able to communicate. If there's certain systems, technologies that you as an operator know you need in order to deliver the care that your capital partner is expecting you to care, that you're going to be, then you need to say, I need this. And you don't, and you need to say without passion, pride, or prejudice, like, this is what we need. And you're not blowing their dollars. Mm-hmm. You know, you're actually preserving their dollars because you're saying, listen, you hired me to run this place, to lease it up, to stabilize, to deliver great care. These are the systems. These are the platforms that I have determined. And if you want to have a conversation with me about the manner in which I'm doing and the method, then let's do that. But let's not do that at the development table while we're trying to get this building out of the ground. And with all due respect, please don't VE those components out of my ability to deliver care, right?
Right. And when you say VE, you're just
value engineering.
You're talking about value engineering. Well,
thank you.
Well, let me dig a little deeper in here, right? It's the lack of knowing what kind of Wi-Fi and technology they need. Would you say it's just a lack of programming? And that these developments just live in an Excel sheet and they don't have thought behind the healthcare and the programming and the model of actually operating these buildings. And it's just another building that returns an X amount of numbers.
No, it's a fantastic question. And I'd say the simple answer is yes. One of the ways that we help transcend or sidestep that or partner with a developer is to say, listen, we can give you a budget for what a network or Wi-Fi would cost you, right? To put in so that they can give, you know, I call it, let's paint the ball field. Let's give them the ballpark so that they know approximately the size of what needs to be invested. And if they choke and what it's like on that number, then we talk about it, right? It's better there than going and sharpening a pencil and pouring a whole bunch of effort into building this bill of materials and engineering this beautiful thing. And then them say, why can't I just go to, is Best Buy, well, I mean, Radio Shack doesn't exist anymore. Best Buy, I still think is around, but you know, can I just go buy that stuff and put it in, you know? Yes, but do you want it to work? You know, but they don't care because they're not running it. They're turning to the operator, you know? So that's, so what we've said is help you with a budget so that we're trying to get them out of being the shopper, right? Trying to, because they feel that their job is to buy, to spend the dollars wisely, right? So they try to become a buyer of technology, but that's not their gifting. Right. That's
right.
In order to buy it, you've got a network has to be engineered.
Right.
You can't just, if you want to go price shop a network, what you need to do is hire somebody to engineer your system. And now let's go price it. No different than a building, right? You go hire an architect, you put together a set of plans and specs, and then you might send it out to the street and go get a few GCs, get some numbers back. But on network and Wi-Fi, it's different. It's like, hey, go get somebody. Oh, well, let's take theirs and send it over there. Hey, you give me a number for that one. Well, why is theirs different than this? Well, it's a different manufacturer. Do you know the difference between the manufacturer? Who are you going to trust to help you make a decision on a foundational building block of what you as an operator, what your residents need and expect? I think you've been at operators before, where the residents complain, the staff complains, connectivity is subpar.
Well, right? Exactly. So what if what you just described does not happen, and we're looking at cost or driving the entire solution, then there's a win, right? When we get the lowest cost solution. The problem is once you open up and you're taking care of residents, your care staff can't log on to the Wi-Fi,
right?
In order to provide medication and document through an electronic health record.
Right.
And when they move down the hallway, there's not an adequate handoff.
No, they got to go back
to the wireless access point. So they
park their med card in the elevator, run down, deliver meds, right? You know,
Right. Now we have a COVID-19 pandemic.
You don't pay them hourly, right?
No, of course not. It's just a small salary. So they get frustrated.
Yeah.
Then you have clients in there, even in the common area, that are trying to log on to your Wi-Fi,
right?
Assuming it's quality like a hotel, and they can't log in, or they log in and they're logged in, but then when you test the speed, I mean, it doesn't even register because there's no bandwidth.
Right.
So that's frustrating.
Yeah.
A telephone service is cut off because their voice over internet protocol, the Wi-Fi is not servicing them. Logging into the Wi-Fi via cell phones, but then there's a connectivity problem there. I've even been, believe it or not, I've been in communities, kind of like our mission statement we talked on the wall that no one knew about. I've been in communities where they were passing out a Netflix login to 80 residents.
Right.
And they all couldn't log in and they didn't know why. And they didn't even realize, of course, that everybody needed
limited numbers. For me, right?
Correct. So
it's the same thing with your Wi-Fi key, right? Here's your business network key. Hand it to your executive director and all the department heads. And if resident family walks in, you get, the guest isn't working. Well, here, try this key.
That's right. But value engineering, Matt's not going to work moving forward with a healthcare model. And I remember this year being at both the National Investment Center Conference year prior, and also at the OSHA. And there was a big announcement. The keynote messages were all about, look, if you can't run a healthcare model, then you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
It sucked the oxygen out of the room because most people coming in are not used to running healthcare models.
No, it's resort.
It's resort, stupid.
Touchy feel.
Yeah. So healthcare has been marginalized and it's been commoditized. Well, anybody can do that. We're all about, you know, resort living. Now the pandemic hits and we need response to this pandemic, this pathogen. We need to know how to quarantine residents. They need to be able to contact their loved ones through tablets, and no one's prepared. And no one knows what to do because they're trying to run a resort. And now it's really disadvantage. Is that a word? I always come with these new words.
Disadvantages, and if you wanted to throw a word, disinformation. Disinformation. There's a bunch of words today.
It's all, a disadvantage.
All words are valid.
That's right. We're in Georgia, so
they're not. As you say it with integrity.
That's right. So they're not. They weren't ready. They're not ready, yeah. And there's a, and they can't. They can't deliver what's being promised, and the future is going to demand electronic health records, electronic medical records, robust Wi-Fi for everything we're talking about.
So, Todd, I mean, you typically only have one resident at a community, right?
Well, we are seeing some communities like that.
Yeah, well, I guess that might be a good opportunity for a sale. But no,
I think the average is about 80% right now. Right. 75 days.
So if you have 80%, what would you say? You've got your small communities, you got a medium, and your large communities, right?
Correct.
And typically, we're multi-dwelling, multi-family, multi-housing, right? Like that's what senior living is a member of, right? That's what our model is. So the challenge when it comes to network is you can't put one device out and expect one device to serve all of your team, your residents, right? If you've got 80 beds, you've got 80 rooms, you've got 80 doors, you've got 80 PTACs, you've got 80 TSTATs. You know, you might need 80 Wi-Fi APs, right?
Right, right.
So to walk in and think, well, you can deliver a community with 80 doorknobs and 80 of the other stuff and say, well, we're just going to do with two. Is two APs good? Is that, will that suffice? Right. And then wonder why, you know, care and tracking, you can't get it. You can't expect your operator to function better when they're not equipped with the tools. And so that's why we try to partner with our operators and help them make sure that they're clear on defining what their strategy is, how they're going to go after it, and build this foundational building block, right? And to realize that, well, where we are today and where you want to get to tomorrow is important, but we're gonna start. You might not be able to put 80 enterprise-grade Wi-Fi access points out tomorrow because, well, you only have one resident and you have 80 beds. So we're going to start with one because we're gonna grow into it. So there's a way to get phased. But again, what's the goal? How do you want to get there? And let's pursue that.
Yeah, well, one of the things I really liked about you, Matt, and going back to our Katy building was you've always been very modality neutral. So you've not been in love necessarily with one particular piece of equipment, and we were able to have these design charrettes in technology,
right?
Where we invited several RFID door lock companies in and let them display the features and benefits of their product, along with the developer and who was going to be the executive director and who was going to manage it. We all had this design charrette, and we looked at RFID, we looked at RTLS, we looked at video surveillance, we looked at what kind of music was going to be, and everybody got involved.
Digital signage,
and it's like, hey, whatever you want, we can deliver. And that's really important on any project, because it could be a middle market project that has the same features, but maybe not as the same depth and robustness.
Maybe the volume's turned down a little bit. For sure.
And so those are the kind of, that's the kind of education though that needs to take place with everybody involved in a project to make it successful, right?
Absolutely. You know, if the developer is going to call all the shots, right, then they hand over this building, you know, an inanimate object that an operator then makes it a home, right? You're moving residents, you're moving teens in there, and all of a sudden now these systems, those are the expensive dollars is what we say, right? The cheap dollars are your loan dollars. You know, get the stuff you need in behind the walls, get the core stuff that you really need so that you can start building, filling that community up and really making it run. And even if you are, we are moving to a less resort style and a more healthcare model, it doesn't mean that we can throw away the lessons that we learn from resort style or still give those amenities, right? As soon as we can go back into the communities, you know, we are going to be able to relate and sit with people and go back and say, hey, come on into our community. You know, that's one of the conversations we've had about how do you create flex spaces. You know, technology can open the door for that so that you're not designing a static space, right? So,
do you mind if we segue into that? I think that would be an interesting topic for our audience. So we've seen over the last, 5 or 6 years, maybe even 8, the creation of resort properties. And there was this kind of common strategy to create, hey, we're going to go to the common area, the Grand Hall, and to the right, we have a movie theater.
Yes.
And to the left, we have a salon. And then to the left next to that, we have a fitness room. And then next to that, we have an art studio. And it was fairly innovative, but that's somewhat almost dated now, right?
It's also expensive.
It is expensive. And quite frequently, those rooms do not get used. And so, you know, we talked several years ago that we saw a day coming, which is probably already here, where you'd have somewhat like a Hyatt Place experience, where you walk in the door, you get checked in at concierge desk, you go over and have a pizza and a beer.
Yeah.
Then they serve you the pizza and the beer. You need a ride to the airport, and they jump in the concierge jumps in and takes you to the airport. And that's kind of what we're seeing in space conservation now.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I certainly the projects, we love innovating, you know, so disruption, innovation. We're talking about space, you know, so the spaces in senior living, we walk into these communities and you see these dead spaces. It's very rarely I walk in and see that a theater is occupied, except for movie night. So right. If you're going to design a building and you're going to have a theater and you're going to dump, let's say on a good day, maybe 10 grand just into maybe some technology. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, are you building a community that's $100 a square to build, or is it $250 a square? So are we talking about a 200 square foot room, or are we talking about a 600 square foot room? And that's how much money you spent to build out this space that literally is used maybe once a week.
Yeah.
I think we can do better, you know, and I think that the technology today, we've seen a huge push for video. You know, how do you get a resident and remote family engaged? You know, how do you get your remote teams engaged? Mm-hmm. And so certainly, in order to design those spaces at a new construction project, it's not something that we can just walk in and say, hey, this solution works. All you have to do is plug it in and we're good.
Or I call Best Buy.
Yeah,
the Geek Squad.
Right.
Have the Geek Squad come in.
You just buy, you go grab one widget off the shelf, you walk in your community, plug it in, and it's done.
Voila.
Right. I mean, Alexa is not just like plug it in. You've got to step through some things. There's a set of, right?
But right.
You're talking about an assembly, right? In your space, you might have a display, you're going to have a microphone, you're going to have a video, you're going to have internet, you're going to have a computer, you know, and you're going to need it to work. I mean, we're sitting here in a room with a microphone, and we all need it to be within range of the microphone.
Right.
The microphone matters.
Yeah.
Hope it works.
It works.
It was a special microphone too, so it can pick up all of us at the same time. Yes. Around it. Right?
Yes. While we're not clearing our throats.
And Jimmy's going to clip a picture of this and put it on the web so everyone can see our cool microphone.
Right. Yeah.
Second podcast, we were able to upgrade. Someone donated us a good microphone.
We have very silent drones flying around the room doing a 360 panoramic of this whole thing. In order to innovate, it's also not one-sided, right? So in order to create flexible spaces that don't fall flat when a community opens, it can't just simply sit on the shoulders of an architect and a developer. Mm-hmm. Right. It's got to be somebody who's an operator that actually has some understanding mm-hmm. of what this community is going to look like and operate like.
Right. Because every community is unique.
Right.
And every community should have a unique value proposition.
Right.
Something it offers that no one else potentially excels in.
And that operator, you hear it all the time. Like, you know, that sometimes as a developer shopping for an operator, they're shopping for the right operator mm-hmm. to run their buildings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Was that the right fee? Or is that the right operator that's going to lease it up? Is that the right operator that's just going to make them profitable that they can set it and forget it? You know, what is the right?
Well, it should be synergy, like-mindedness, similar vision.
One would think it might just be money if we're talking about.
Well, there are some people that make decisions just on money.
For sure. Some people prioritize money more than others. And that's fine. You just need to know where on the spectrum it falls. But we're talking about care, right? We're talking about resident. Like, in order for a community to make it, we have to deliver care, right? We have to have people. We have to have stuff that works. And I think that's what the the pandemic has made a lot of operators realize is like, oh man, yeah, I knew that what we had wasn't good. And now we have to live with what's not good because I can't make it work in the midst of a pandemic.
That's a very good topic because, you know, the pandemic and COVID definitely brought it to the front. But we have to remember that that's not the only virus that's been around.
For sure.
And we have to work and be better.
Yeah.
And that brings to the point on Wi-Fi, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I come from hotels, so Wi-Fi to me is, you know, I'm going to get an upgrade in every room if you want the fast Wi-Fi, right?
Yeah.
All that needs to work is computers. And people might look at it and say, oh, okay, great. Enough Wi-Fi for the computers to work and the cell phones to work and
right.
the phones to work. But especially you brought up the point of care. And I want to get into a really good, a really important topic, which is the wearables and RTLS.
Yes.
You know, real-time location services. And how that doesn't work if you don't have Wi-Fi throughout the building.
Right.
Your wearable doesn't magically just pick up Xfinity out of somewhere and it just starts working. So, you know, Todd and Matt, if you guys want to get a little bit, you know, as an operator and really just the value of having these wearables and video surveillance,
right.
surveillance and, you know, the door locks, contactless door locks. And just as simple as that, you know,
yeah.
the Wi-Fi to work.
Well, we've worked with a few operators that implement were early adopters of RTLS. And one of the great things that would just like, what's one of the pros? Well, you could walk to the front desk and the proverbial question is like, hey, I'm here to see my mom, my dad, right? Do you know where they are? No.
Somewhere in the building.
I'm walking, right. just, how big's your building? Like.
80,000, 60,000. We lock our doors. Don't yeah. worry, they're inside.
They can't get out. They're quarantined.
Right. So that begins the hunt, right? So just purely simply, like it, you can just type in their name. So with RTLS, we're talking about you don't need your resident to actively push a button or anything. RTLS is going to be a passive. It's going to report and say, oh, you know, as long as they're wearing a device, a wearable, right? Pendant or watch or something, it's going to report that device's location within your Wi-Fi environment. And we say Wi-Fi, RTLS might use Wi-Fi. It might use some other, some to use,
right.
You know, BLE, Bluetooth Low Energy. Some eCall uses a different wireless made by another company. So again, RTLS doesn't necessarily mean Wi-Fi, just to make sure that we're clear. But,
right.
but that was a benefit, right? Was just out of the gate, you can tell the visitor who's coming in where the resident is in your community. That's a service that you can deliver. That and that is hotel-like, right? You walk in like, oh, I just provided service in
right.
a timely manner that didn't take very long. And now that person can go find them. They're upstairs, second floor in the activity room. Huh. Thank you very much. Right now we're in pandemic and we talk about what else can we do with this system? You know, some of these devices needed to be developed because battery life is important. Right.
Right.
right? right. And that's the other keys, right? Like a wearable's got to be powered, right? It's got to be online in order to be able mm-hmm. to be detected. Otherwise it's useless.
Right. Right.
You know,
so we had a client we talked with the other day helping and they had a nurse that worked in the community that worked at another community. And she came into the community, was exposed to a resident. She ended up testing positive for COVID.
Right.
She was with one resident and there was concern that, okay, how far did this spread? And so in what we've been talking about putting into our buildings in mm-hmm. the future is the ability with RTLS to go back and find out where the individual
like a breadcrumb
went
where
exactly
where
contact
your,
tracing
where your staff went where
right.
the resident went right it's correct
so we can adequately test for that
right.
as well
yeah
and I remember we were on the cutting edge I guess of putting passive motion sensors
in 2014
yeah. right because
we were there
we realized that if we had these motion sensors installed and it was gathering data of how many times the resident got up at mm-hmm. night, where did they go? They went to the bathroom, mm-hmm. how long they were in the bathroom, how frequently they were in the bathroom.
Right.
If we could gather those analytics, then we could at least know, hey, they're up all night, they're sleep deprived. Maybe they're not having an exacerbation of dementia. Maybe they're sleep deprived. and they need an Ambien versus some more medication to control their dementia. Right. Or maybe there's other issues that we could suggest to the doctor to look at. And that was the original technology that RTLS will deliver on now as well.
Correct. All of that is. Todd, the piece that is like critically important, all this is possible. It's not that difficult. It's not like it's Star Trek technology that's far off. I hear operators talk frequently risk, right? If you've got the data and you don't do something with that data, you are now at
risk.
Right. So instead of going at risk, I see operators don't go at risk.
So if we don't know where mom is at, then we can't be accountable for it. We don't have a device to know where she's at.
So you know, in order for things to change, we have to kind of change everybody's perspective too, right? So if we're going to expect an operator to take risk for us and deliver care and do what we can't, right? We can't care for mom. That's why they're there, right? So then I've got to trust you to do that. And I've got to get behind you, right? We've got to get behind the operators. We got to empower them. We've got to help them solve this. And we've got to understand that they're human too. And that we want them to take the risk to try and put together something that ultimately delivers better outcomes, right? Instead of, well, you had that data available and didn't do anything. Well, my attorney's going to call you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead of like, well, maybe the question is like, how do we help that operator make sure, and it's ops, right? Operationally.
Right.
And it's not easy. How often do you close your communities?
Never.
Yeah, right.
Perpetually like, open.
Yeah. Correct.
Forever.
Yeah. I mean, they're closed. They're closed. And you brought up a good point. Senior living, this isn't the first pandemic that right. that a community has experienced, right? Scabies, other, you know, flu season, right?
Flu.
Diarrhea, like things tear through a community, right? And so communities, operators are used to responding to shutdowns, lockdowns, you know,
quarantines.
It's
infection part of control.
It's part of the nature.
So the good ones are. They have healthcare protocol in place.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've been in senior living since 99 in various capacities, mostly technology and into construction. But I've seen it too, you know, where our corporate offices go into a community because shut down because it's scabies. I was like, as an IT guy, what's scabies? Yeah. You know, so if we can, through technology, help deliver that I think helps an operator. But we also have to answer the question of how do we lower that risk concern, right? Like, I don't want to go do this because if I have the data and I do nothing about it, or I didn't respond in time, now I'm liable, you know?
Absolutely. And I think it's the operator's responsibility to take that responsibility. We are responsible for the residents, and we see a lot of times where, you know, you put in the programming and, you know, it happened.
Yeah.
But no, we have to be responsible for that. And we just, we just need to take charge. In the movement.
Agreed. But the vendors need to be part of that too.
Right.
Like, you know, we talked about, well, why can't you just go to Best Buy and buy it? Because it's not just something you just put in. We talked about engineering. We talked about designing. And it's not a finish line. It's a starting line. You put in Wi-Fi. You put in these systems. It's a start, right? You were using clipboards yesterday. You're using electronic medical records today.
Right.
Well, you expect amazing. Well, why don't we have the good data? Well, because we just started getting the data in. You know, in a few months, we're going to start to do that. So who's massaging the data and making sure that you're garbage in, garbage out?
And that's the same process the hospitals went through 10 years ago
for
when they adopted electronic health platforms as well. They had the same challenges.
Correct. And, you know, the hospitality, the hotel industry had the same sort of Wi-Fi challenge that senior living does.
Right.
The hotel industry had the same problem with electronic locking. It was like, no, like how many hotels you go to these days, you get a mechanical key. Well, I think it's just when you go to the motel and you're driving across the U.S. and you get a square metal key
correct.
That like cuts a hole through your pocket. Right.
But it's all on apps now.
It's
on your phone.
Correct. Yeah. I can just put an app on there, mm-hmm. but senior living, in order to accomplish that, there's an operation side to it, right? And that's something that a vendor has to be part of the equation. It's not just a set it, forget it, walk away. And the same thing for an operator, right? Because you've got people in your communities that are going to be running this, and it's got to work. And you can't have to have a special degree. So that just, it's a partnership really to help solve this. And I don't want anybody to think it's like, well, if you buy the right access point, you're good. Mm-hmm. It isn't.
Can't make a difference though.
It sure can make a difference.
It can definitely make a difference.
For sure. Yeah. But remember, one can't serve, you know, all 80 rooms. It's just not going to reach unless you're got a community of mice and it's a very small, compact place.
Well, one of the, I think we have time for one more example. Do we, Jimmy, you're watching the clock.
And, yeah. I think we're going to need like 6 more podcasts to go over.
I think we're going to have to do a continuation here.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll treat everyone to a mid-month podcast. Right. You know, let Matt talk freely.
Yeah. No.
But yes. Let's
get a bunch of booze.
Yeah. Let's get one more topic in here.
So I thought about our topic, disruption must take place for innovation to have a space. And so I remember prior to the pandemic trying to or suggesting that potentially increasing the bandwidth and the Wi-Fi so that it included the residence room for various reasons, but one particular reason so that we could power tablets that older adults could have. Maybe we gave it to them when they came in the community so they could be in continual contact with their families. And, you know, this is risk mitigation on one hand, because the state of Texas allows now nanny cams. So residents, families can come in and with the residents' permission, they can put a camera in the room and they can monitor all that's going on. And other states are moving toward adopting this. So if we actually had the ability to have a tablet where the residents could talk with their families, then this would be one more way to connect with them, get their eyes on them. And, you know, some people might say, I don't want to cause more confusion or more contact. We want to kind of control that. I disagree with that. Quite frankly, I think it's transparent. You're going to deal with issues anyway. So, but the feedback I got was that, well, they can't use the tablets. It kind of reminds me of 2008. The older adults can't use the tablets. They don't know how they
same
won't
logic with the Wi-Fi. It's the old person. They're not going to use it.
They're not going to use it. The family's going to want to come in. And so now we have disruption.
Yeah.
Pandemic, mandated shutdown of the communities. The families can't come down.
Right.
And so how do we fix that? Oh, great idea. Let's get a tablet.
Yeah,
and let's
heard of Wi-Fi?
And let's see if the resident can use FaceTime. Can they use Skype? And so the adoption was much quicker in the midst of the disruption than it ever was prior to it when people objected to it and thought it was less personal.
Did you have staff using their own devices?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's who we have serving in the communities, right? They're solving the problem as long as they have cell.
Yes.
Wi-Fi, right? They could do it. Right. Or bring them to some place that they have connectivity.
Yeah. My mom went from a jitterbug.
Yeah.
Which she was like, this is really complicated, Todd. I don't know this stuff. I'll never be able to handle it. So she liked the jitterbug because all those commercials. But once she was quarantined and we got her a smartphone and made it simple for her, we could FaceTime her anytime.
Right.
And that connection, even though remote, and through virtual, still made a difference.
Totally.
To her.
It's all about education. It's all about educating.
The joke about the pastor's wife, right, blowing kisses to the pastor. It's like, you know, keep it simple, stupid, right? That's the old kiss analogy, right? KASS, and that's what we have to keep in mind when it comes to technology, is that we are mindful of who's going to be using the technology, because the key is it's got to be used. If it isn't used, there's no point in putting it in, right? Which kind of goes back to our, like, if you build it, they will come. Well, that was the resort. Like, we've got Wi-Fi, come on, right? Well, we have connectivity, right? And we have care. Yeah, so you can come here and connect and we'll provide care and we've got you, right? And that's what it needs to be in my perspective.
Absolutely.
That's a great point.
Matt, Todd, I think we could go for hours. So we're gonna have to.
We have enough snacks. We can do it.
We could, but I think
this has been great.
This has been great.
Matt, well, I appreciate
always
it.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Listen to our podcast when it comes out, and we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, you guys stay safe, and we'll have Matt back in the very near future to talk about some other unfiltered topics. Thank you, guys.